this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. One of the world's most brutal and infamous prisons is in Iran. It's in the city of Tehran, the northwest part of the city. And there is an American pastor who has been imprisoned there in the Evin prison for going on now 11 months. We will be talking with Saeed Abedini's wife, Nagmeh, in just a few moments. We'll talk about his plight and the Christians around the world who've come together in solidarity, in prayer. In fact, there is an online petition that you could sign. 615,000 people have signed it so far, and perhaps our audience could help boost it another 1,000 signatures. Also, before we continue with that, Pittsburgh, this past week, there was a creation conference, a tremendous meeting of hundreds of Christians from around this country and around the world, scientists, engineers from Los Alamos National Labs, Sandia National Labs, from NASA, from Cornell University. It leads over in England, just a tremendous group illustrating, pointing, documenting the evidence that we are not apes, we're not animals, but that we are human beings created in God's image. What an exciting conference. We'll tell you all about that. Also, we have here in Colorado the Brady Amendment, and the deadline is coming up September 3rd for getting your signature in. So please, you've got to contact Colorado Right to Life. And also, Alan Keyes is coming to speak at the Colorado Right to Life banquet on Friday. What is the date? September 7th, I believe. That's Saturday. Saturday night, September 7th, 7 p.m., right just about a block or so south of the mega Planned Parenthood abortion mill in Denver, right at I-70 in Quebec. So it's just going to be an extraordinary evening with Alan Keyes. And so please sign the Brady Amendment. Over 100,000 signatures are needed. And there have been, a third of a million signatures collected so far in the last few years in support of the unborn, protecting unborn children. Okay, so now our goal here is to get the pastor's wife on the line. Saeed Abedini is the 33-year-old resident from Idaho who is an American citizen. This is his nation of choice. He has been to Iran in the past. In fact, about a decade ago, he was arrested for his Christian faith and helping to establish home churches. He was arrested for that, released, and then, just about a year ago, he returned to Iran with the permission of the government in order to help build an orphanage. And this is a secular-funded orphanage. And a bus he was on was stopped. He was taken off the bus and thrown in this very notorious prison, Evin Prison. And this is, of course, a great tragedy. So Christians have been calling out. In fact, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, has gone on Fox News and asked, why is it that Barack Obama has been silent? The ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, has pointed out that there are other nations. The European Union, Australia, has done more to try to free this American pastor than has Barack Obama. Now, a half a year ago, John Kerry called for the Iranians to release Abedini. And that's, fine as far as that goes. But Barack Obama has been silent, and our government did more to free an Iranian Christian pastor, and he was successfully freed a while back, than they have done to free an American Christian pastor. So we will, we're attempting to get Nagme on the line. And in the meantime, I'm wondering if we could talk with Nagme's attorney and the attorney that represents her husband here in the U.S. That would be Matthew Clark with the ACLJ. Matthew, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Matthew, if you were able to hear any of that introduction, could you supplement that, add to for our audience and for me, how is Saeed to begin with?
Well, thank you. I just want to first say thank you so much for raising his case, for discussing the situation in Iran, the situation for Pastor Saeed and his wife and two young kids. And really, he is an example, the face of Christian persecution around the world. We actually just learned today that Pastor Saeed's family, who is able to, from time to time, his family, who's still in Iran, is able from time to time able to see him on visitation, and the authorities there did allow some of his family members to visit him earlier today. Mm-hmm. He is unfortunately experiencing more pain in his abdominal region. He has suffered from some internal bleeding, the result of the intense beatings that he's undergone in these horrific conditions in Evin prison. He had been seen just a few weeks ago by a doctor. It was really for the first time they let him go to a local private hospital and be seen by a doctor, and was prescribed some medication. He's been taking that as directed ever since, but the pain from these kind of internal things, which they had said in the past, when you have internal injuries, and, you know, we haven't been able to see him or, you know, diagnose him or anything,
right,
but from what we understand, you know, when he has these internal injuries, they can kind of erupt and get better and worse as time goes in and out. And I think the bottom line is he needs to be able to come home to see his own doctor here in America, to be with his wife and kids here in America, be released from these brutal conditions. It is a daily struggle. It's mm-hmm. been 320 days that he's now been imprisoned, quickly approaching
wow.
the one-year mark next month.
Yes. Matthew Clark, the prison that Saeed is in is known for its political prisoners. It has a wing for political prisoners. We've heard in reports, including from Fox News, that not only has he been tortured at the hands of his jailers, but also from fellow inmates. I would think that a prison in Iran certainly could have in its political wing people who support terrorist goals, who would not look kindly on someone preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it perhaps is not only the jailers that are the concern, but also the other inmates.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. That is very much a concern. Now, on the good side, we have heard, I know that Nagme, his wife, has heard from some prisoners who had been in there for some of the same time that Pastor Saeed was there, and have said that just what a ministry Pastor Saeed was to them, just a presence. They could sense just his spirit, and so that is, you know, it's very encouraging to hear stories like that coming out from inside the prison, but certainly both from the prison guards, from the regime, and from potential other prisoners, though I think most prisoners have seen, you know, the heart that Pastor Saeed has and really has been a ministry to them, that's always a certain potential for danger.
Mm. One of the very first interviews I did on this program way back, we've been on the air for 22 years, was Richard Wurmbrand, who wrote Tortured for Christ. He was in studio. We spent a day together with his wife here in Denver, and he spoke of his years of imprisonment in a communist prison in Romania, and the fact that he was able to be a light for the Lord, even though he was being tormented. It's so encouraging to see that even under these conditions, Saeed, Pastor Saeed Abedini, can be a voice. And I believe we have now on the line Nagme. So let's conference Nagme and their attorney, Matthew Clark, together. Nagme, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. We've been talking for the past 10 minutes, Nagme, about your husband and his plight. Can you first tell us how you are doing and how the kids are doing? You guys are in Idaho, right?
Yes, we're in Boise, Idaho, and it's definitely been a hard year. It's September 26th will be 1 year that he's been physically, he's in Evan prison. In July of 2012, he was not allowed to leave the country and was put under house arrest. And in September, he was taken to Evan prison, where he has dealt with a lot of torture and abuse because of his Christian faith. And it's been a very difficult journey for our family. It's been a hard year.
So even though it's not yet been a year in that prison, it sounds like it's been over a year since your children or you have seen your husband. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, actually June 22nd, we dropped him off at the airport, and he was supposed to be back home on July, end of July, and he never came home, and they put him under house arrest. And even though it's less than a year that he's been in the prison, we haven't seen him for over a year.
Oh, wow. And the kids, can I ask about the name of, could I ask about the ages of your children?
Yes, my daughter, Rebecca, she's 6. Actually, she'll be 7 in September, and it will be the second birthday without daddy present at her birthday party. And then my son, he turned 5 in March, and his name's Jacob.
Oh, so surely we know all of those in the audience, my wife and I, Cheryl, we have 7 boys. We could all also feel for your children and missing their dad. So this is an international crisis because of the fact of an American Christian pastor being imprisoned in Iran. And for what? Is there a reasonable claim that your husband broke a law in Iran? It seems by the reports in the media that he didn't give them even a pretext to arrest them.
No, actually, the one of the main reasons I've been so vocal about this is he's in there illegally. Mm. He has not broken any Iranian law. As a matter of fact, Iran is the one who's violating their own laws and international laws because they have agreed to, even though they don't believe in it, somehow they've agreed to internally and internationally agree to allow for religious freedom for people to convert and for people to practice. And unfortunately, they have been imprisoning him for almost a year illegally and torturing him. And many times he's been given the promise that he would be released if he would only return to Islam. And you know, I've asked our government and different governments to step up. I've spoken at the UN about Iran's illegal, illegally keeping Saeed. And unfortunately, he's in one of the worst prisons in the world. He's in the hands of radicals, and every day counts.
So, Nagme, we have on the line your U.S. attorney from the American Center for Law and Justice, Matthew Clark. Matthew, could you speak to that issue of the allegations against Saeed and the fact that he was convicted and sentenced to an 8-year term for doing what? He was helping to build an orphanage.
Exactly. What he was doing was not illegal, and in fact, he was working with, and this is a key point, he was working with the government of Iran to build that orphanage. He had already secured permission. He was actually there to secure the last board member for that orphanage. So he was actively working with the Iranian regime to build this orphanage. So they knew exactly what he was doing and how he was going about it and had actually approved him doing that. Christianity is a recognized, protected religion under Iran's own constitution. Hmm. Yet they still persecute Christians, and in Saeed's case and in a lot of other similar situations, they actually charged him with crimes against the national security for his work with churches. That to them, working with a Christian church is an assault on their own national security. And so that's how they actually bring the charges. All the evidence against him was evidence against his work, or the evidence of his work as a Christian pastor years and years earlier. And so that's what they brought the charges under. And it really was a sham trial that he was put through. He was barred from even being present after the first day of trial, as the trial continued in his absence and without ability to have an attorney present.
So by the Iranian constitution, as you've just said, and Nagmeh said, Christianity is a recognized religion. Do you mean this is the second nation we know of in the world that doesn't abide by its own constitution? Is that possible? We have also international treaties. Could you speak to that, Matthew Clark? What is it that Iran has promised when nations sign these agreements? They promise a certain type of behavior. I know that Iraq, when it became a member of the United Nations, it promised to recognize and adhere to the borders of its neighboring states, and then Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. So they broke that international agreement. So what is it about Iran that they have acknowledged internationally that they would not persecute people for their faith?
Well, among other things, Iran has signed on to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And when I say signed on, they have willingly agreed to be bound by its terms. The same thing when they joined the United Nations, they willingly agreed to sign the United Nations Charter. Both of those documents, both of those agreements, state that they will protect religious freedom, the right to hold one's own beliefs, and that is what's being threatened. That is what he is in jail for, his Christian beliefs. And so Iran has not only violated its own constitution, it has violated numerous international agreements. And the inhumane conditions in which Pastor Saeed suffers currently also violate various aspects of those, where he is, you know, constantly tormented. And as I was telling you about earlier, the dangerous situation with his abdominal pain and internal bleeding.
The New York Daily News has reported that Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio asked Secretary of State nominee during the confirmation hearing for John Kerry back in January if he would work to push for Saeed's release. Can you, Nagmeh, can you share with us what you said at the United Nations? And when was that, and what did you tell them?
That was early June. I believe it was June 4th and of this year, 2013. And I was able to share about Saeed's arrest in front of over 100 nations at the Human Rights Council in Geneva, and about Saeed's imprisonment, illegal imprisonment, and Iran's violation of those laws. And really got to, the Iranian government was there, their officials were there, and I really got to speak out against about what they're doing illegally, keeping Saeed there for almost a year with he has broken no law.
So thank you for being a voice for him, and in fact, for Christians generally, for Christian liberty. We produced a documentary years ago here at Bob and Yurt Live called Focus on the Strategy. It entered into a film festival, and we came in second place in the documentary category. This was down in Texas, Vision Forum, and we were actually honored to lose because we lost to a documentary by two Iranian brothers whose father was a Christian pastor in Iran.
I know them personally.
You do.
Cry for Iran?
Yes. Yes,
yes.
A Cry for Iran.
They're great friends.
I'm so thrilled to hear that. And their father was martyred for his faith, and he was bold and courageous. And so when we lost that, we were celebrating A Cry for Iran and the brothers who, who won first place in the documentary category.
Yes, and something that I have come to really be passionate about, Christianity is the number one persecuted religion in the world, and over 100,000 Christians are killed and martyred for their faith every year. And the world doesn't know about it. No one's talking about it. No one's advocating for it. There's not as much noise as it should be in regard to standing up for their freedom to believe in Jesus, simply to believe in him.
As with Hollywood and our culture, it's open season on Christians, mocking Christians.
Yes.
Things that would be considered bigoted, crass, if said against somebody who believes in a Native American religion, or never would these things be said against a Muslim, but they are encouraged and said against Christians. And it seems that any name, any religion is acceptable, except those who honor Jesus Christ, who
exactly.
bow before Jesus Christ.
Well, even I've noticed it's hard to share that Saeed is imprisoned by Muslims because it's politically incorrect to even say that, to even speak about. Mm. You know, I believe our government has been more silent about it because it involves, you know, another religion persecuting the Christians. And it's just not politically correct to even speak out against that and talk about that. And, you know, Christians are, you know, it's very normal to speak out against Christians, make fun of them, but it's very taboo and very, in a way, you don't hear that about people doing that with the Muslim religion or other religions. And unfortunately, that's a reality. Even in our country, it's hard being a Christian. It's becoming more and more difficult to stand up for Christ.
Yeah. Nagme, here in Denver, a number of our friends from our audience and a couple of my boys, we went to the largest mosque in Colorado. Leslie Hanks, who's the president of American Right to Life, she was there. And we went to speak to the imam and folks at the mosque. And we actually had a wonderful time presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the local media reported, you know, of course, being biased against the Christians in a knee-jerk reaction in defense of Islam. They said that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. And so we asked, in the country of Saudi Arabia, which is the Mecca of Islam, literally, how many synagogues do they have in Medina or Mecca? How many churches do they have in the whole country of Saudi Arabia, which is the holy ground of Islam? And the last I checked, the answer was zero.
Zero. It's illegal. You can get killed for that. For preaching the gospel in many of these countries, it's illegal.
Right. So America's media, and I realize this is eye roll radio because it's so obvious, who needs to even remind ourselves, but for the American media to say that Islam is a religion of tolerance and a religion of peace, you'd have to ask where, because wherever Islam is in control, there's no peace for people of other faiths. So
exactly. I ask, it's becoming popular here in the U.S. to become a Muslim and talk about it being a religion of peace. And I ask, I grew up in the U.S. I lived in Iran for a few years and I met Saeed. And as a woman, it was horrific. And I ask people who think that, I tell them, pick any country in the Middle East, a Muslim country, any of it, and go live there for a few months and, you know, and see for yourself. It's definitely not. I've lived in the Middle East for years, and it's definitely not very tolerant. And
Nagme, did you need to wear a veil or no?
Yeah, a covering, head covering, not a full facial veil. But the teaching in all the countries, even for women, is very similar.
Right.
Women are considered second-class citizens.
Well,
just treated so much differently than you are in the U.S.
And there are regions of the world where women cannot go to school, where they cannot drive.
No.
A little place called Saudi Arabia.
Get shot at.
Yeah.
If you do, you get shot at. You're not supposed to drive. You're not supposed to go to school. You're not supposed to speak your mind.
So Franklin Graham has called on Americans to join the National Prayer Vigil for your husband on September 26th. That's the one-year anniversary of his imprisonment. So where do you think these prayer vigils will take place?
There's been over, I think now, over 45 cities all across the U.S. We're hoping to have it be at a state capitol building or a city hall or courthouse, somewhere that's public, that a government building. But we're aiming to get every city, capital city involved, and have everyone at every state capitol building be there on September 26th at noon.
Well, I know that Leslie Hanks, I mentioned before, the president of American Right to Life, is trying to organize people to be at the Denver Capitol at noon on that day. So so we'll encourage people in our audience to be there, but also to sign the online petition that we will link to at our website. Nagme, we recently interviewed a pro-life activist at the United Nations. He is Josh Craddock, a liaison with Personhood USA there at the UN. And it's neat that at the UN, there is no Supreme Court. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court, it doesn't have jurisdiction there. And so Christians and pro-lifers could come together on a strategy to advocate for the personhood and the God-given right to life of every innocent child right there at the UN. And at the UN, they need to hear our voice also on behalf of Christian liberties, including for your husband, Saeed Abedini. So,
yes, we have a voice. There's many Christians. We need to speak out about justice, about religious liberty, about pro-life issues. We have a voice.
Amen. So Matthew Clark, thank you so much for your work on behalf of the Abedini family. And we certainly will do our best to keep up with the developments, to pray for and to use our voices for Saeed's freedom.
Thank you very much. Continue the great work.
All right. God bless you guys. Thank you, Nagme.
Thank you. God bless you.
I appreciate that. So now our website here, KGOV.com, a very important interview with this woman and her children, who they're missing their husband and father. And of course, the body of Christ is missing a minister here in this country because he's imprisoned by Muslims in Iran. And the president of the United States, Barack Obama, has not found the time to say a single word on behalf of this Christian minister who's imprisoned in Iran. Perhaps Obama could find his voice and speak up for a Christian. Also, we have here in Colorado the Brady Amendment. And the Brady Amendment, the signature drive, is crucial effort to get it in front of the entire state of Colorado and during an entire campaign cycle to educate people that the baby is a person made in God's image and likeness. So please help out the Brady Amendment. That's at Colorado Right to Life and our site, kgov.com.